right. Well, hello there, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of the absolute best podcast in the world. It's called Chamber Chat. I've got two big-time guests. Here's the crazy thing. It's like cats and dogs living together. Two worlds have collided tonight on Chamber Chat. We have a representative from the police, and we have a representative from the Hueytown Fire Department, and neither one have took a swing at each other. So it's going good so far. But they're both big dudes. So if they do start to go after each other, Gavin, you got my, you're going to make sure you step in and do what you got to do, right?
You got it.
I'm fragile. I don't know if I can be a part of this or not. But anyway, it's so good. You've heard about the event we've been talking about. It's been going on for a few months now. Everybody's excited. We've got Nick Pierce and Eddie Stewart. Nick is the policeman.
Yes, sir.
Eddie is the fireman.
I am.
And so they're representing both. And on August 22nd, they are going to face off in a battle of the badges. Real quick, Gavin, who your prediction right now, who you're predicting? The win. By the way, Gavin Williams, my right-hand man, my favorite producer. Jessica King, the co-host, can't be here tonight, but I know that she would be excited because we have policemen and firemen in the room. You're missing out, Jessica.
I'm going with the policeman.
Wow. Eddie, any comments there? What do you think about that? That's tough right there.
Yeah, well, Gavin, you obviously don't know us firemen very well.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I think he made a great choice.
Now, I'm not going to pick who's going to win. I threw Gavin out as my sacrificial lamb. There you go. And Gavin, unfortunately, you got to talk to these two gentlemen afterwards. But I think Nick's on your side, though.
I got your back.
There we go.
Of course it does.
All right. So real quick, Nick, where are you from exactly? Are you from Hueytown? Did you grow up here? Where are you from?
I grew up in Pleasant Grove.
Pleasant Grove. Okay. So the kind of the outskirts of Hueytown. Big rivals back in the day, right?
Oh, yeah. Big rivals.
Did you play football?
I did.
Okay, what was your record against the Gophers?
I think we were 0-2.
0-2. So what years did you play?
I played 2011 and 2012.
Okay, so that would have been the Jameis years, right?
Yeah, it was the Jameis years.
Oh, there you go. That makes sense, right? That's fair.
Bad memories, bad.
By the way, Jameis, if you're listening, I did put you in timeout. I just wanted to let you know that he knows if he's listening. He's a big fan of the show. He was put in timeout by me. So, grew up in Pleasant Grove. What made you want to become a policeman?
Man, you know, my whole life has been protecting people and being able to translate that into making money. That's a big thing for me. But no, you know, I really wanted to give back to my community and give back to the people who made me who I am today. So just getting to serve and protect them and getting a cool little car out of it, too.
I've seen the car. All right. That's a good look. Now, our guest over here has a pretty good car he gets to ride around in as well. It's a pretty big truck.
Well, yeah, it's big and red.
Can't miss it.
So, Eddie, I know you a little bit from back in the day, but go ahead and explain to everybody where you're from.
Yeah, my name's Eddie Stewart. I grew up in the Bessemer McCalla area.
Sure.
I think me and you met back in my Brook Lane days.
I think we did. I think I was slightly older. But mentally still 17.
Just by 20, 25 years, man.
It's more like 5 or 6. Let's be honest. Let's go with it. Yeah, I remember you back in the day, of course.
Yeah. But we ended up moving to McCalla. And so I went to McAdory High School, graduated there, on to UAB.
Yeah.
And actually got a degree in criminal justice, as a matter of fact.
Oh. Okay. So, So let me ask you this. Was there a small chance at any point in time that you were going to lean toward the police side?
That actually my
first
whole
responders.
Life.
Really?
Yeah, my whole life I was going toward that.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are learning something on this podcast. What do you think about that?
He just made the wrong choice. He's probably an Auburn fan, too.
Okay,
100% an Auburn fan.
Let's say, Nick, you now have to leave the podcast. It's been great having you. We're so glad you could show up.
All right, roll tide, guys.
You know what I've noticed, though? Let me ask you this question, and I think I heard Chief Yarbaugh say this about the police and firemen. So, really, firemen, y'all come to really kind of save the day, right?
That's pretty much what we do, Jamie.
Okay. Thank you. But, Nick, y'all really don't come until after the problem's already started. And usually it's over with before you get called, right?
Well, actually, let me correct that, okay? Okay, so here's what happens.
You shouldn't have mentioned the Auburn thing. I'm going to.
Basically, what happens is, you know, they they get called and we get called around the same time.
Okay.
And then they stage until it's safe. And then they swoop in and they take all the credit.
You think so? They take all the credit.
Is what they do.
Any truth to that?
I will give them that. when there's, you know, certain sensitive situations involve the police having to get on scene first and make sure it's safe. Yes, yeah, so that we can.
Until the hero, the heroes get to come.
The heroes get there, and then we're the ones who actually do the dirty work.
No, Nick, you're more than fucking respond.
Well, look, it's okay. You know, as long as we do the protecting, since that's our job, we'll protect y'all too.
Serve and protect. Yeah. You are correct.
Protect yes. and the serve, absolutely. Uh-huh. And then save the day.
Save the day. whether someone's having a medical emergency or a fire, we're there.
Okay. All right. So he wanted to be, any point in time, did you want to lean toward the fire side?
No. That was never a thought for me. I was in the military.
Okay.
And then got out of the military and went into the National Guard side of the military. And so after that, I was like, well, hey, it's time for me to punch that ticket into doing police work. I never thought about the fire department, but, you know, Chief Yarrow, y'all just calm down. What are y'all offering over there? I'm joking.
Well, I do have my degree in that, and that's the career that I was chasing.
Well, okay, so back to that. What made you go, okay, now I'm going to go back to the fire side? What happened?
Yeah, well, to be honest with you, I had a job lined up with Jefferson County Sheriff's Office. But the Lord had other plans.
Okay.
And so, you know, he pretty much just kind of, I don't know, he changed my heart about it. And so I declined that position, and then about a year later, the fire department job pretty much just fell in my lap.
Was it something quick, or was it something gradual, or is it just one of those things where I think I belong here?
Well, I just happened to see it online as a job opportunity, and I thought, well, let me try this out.
Was this before or after Ninja Warrior? Were you a Ninja Warrior and then just decided to become?
The Ninja Warrior came several years
later.
We
knew we were going to mention the Ninja Warrior sometime. I was going to work myself there, absolutely. Because that could mean, could he be a Ninja Warrior on the field next week? What do you think?
Well,
is that going to help him?
There ain't no hanging bars and stuff on that. It's just man out there with big sticks.
There you go.
You never know how the ninja can come out, I'll tell you.
So, quick question. Now, I'm not trying to start anything. This is just a fair question. You got to go to the police academy, right, to be a policeman.
You do.
Fire academy, is that what they call it?
Yeah, we call it recruit school, but yeah, it's fire academy.
Okay, so which one's tougher to get through?
I'm sure they probably have their both.
Yeah.
They're both tough in their own different ways.
Yeah.
What makes ours tough is that a lot of our training has to do with putting on our SCBA, putting on our protective equipment, you know, our gear, and really battling the heat and and just kind of learning how to use your equipment, use your SCBA, doing the work and getting tired while you're having to breathe oxygen. That's probably the most difficult side, because a lot of these guys that come in this career have never done that, never put on equipment that weighs, weighs almost 100 pounds after everything's said and done.
Do you have to be a paramedic before you can be a fireman, or is that something you just want to happen?
No, a paramedic does open up a lot of doors for you.
Sure. Okay.
You don't have to be a paramedic to be a firefighter.
You don't have to be, okay.
No, you can get hired with zero experience, zero education, and the department you get hired with can send you to recruit school. They'll send you to basic EMT, which that's what you do have to have. And then from there, if you want to further your education and become a paramedic,
that's
options there.
So with the police academy, how difficult is it?
Well, I'll say that it's more of a slow race. It's very cognitive, learning how to make decisions that could alter your whole life within 15 seconds. On top of having all the knowledge of the laws and being up on them changing, being able to be physically fit. So I know that, you know, if you go through the trying to get on the onboarding, you have to be able to push a car so far, or, you know, run 2 miles in a certain amount of time. And I feel like in, well, at least in the basic training, in the police academy I went to, you know, you had to wear your gear, run in your gear, and that's something that's a little bit different from these guys. You know, they put that heavy equipment on and have to breathe in it, and that's really tough. But, you know, we're wearing those pounds all day.
Yeah. It's never, know, and you never take it off, correct?
Yeah, you don't get to just take it off and put it in the back of the trunk, or you're unsafe. But yeah, I mean, it's physically tough, but I feel like it's more mentally tough. It's a lot of having to blend your personality with others, and being able to catch somebody in the worst moment of their lives, and then helping them bring them out of that.
Yeah,
you know, so they say that we're teachers, we're husbands, we're counselors, and you know, we're anything anybody needs us to be in that moment. So you know, that's where I think the police academy is tough, because sometimes it's teaching guys and young ladies who've never actually been in any of these situations before, some who are 19 and 20 who have never been in a 2-year relationship, have to come to a call and tell somebody who's been married for 27 years how to fix their marriage or help their marriage survive. And so yeah, it's very demanding that way.
This is to both of you. This generation, the workforce is out there, not known for being the best most of the time, right? There's a struggle. How is it now getting new recruits, new policemen? How is that going? Is it hard? Is it more difficult than it was, say, 5 years, 10 years ago? Is it more easy? Is there more spots? What makes it easy or difficult?
We have seen I feel like an increase in interest in some younger guys wanting to be in the fire service. But what has been tough, what's tough now, and what's been kind of hard for the past several years, is there's a shortage of paramedics. And not just in the fire service, but in the medical service all around, ambulance companies, there's just a shortage of medics nationwide. And so that's what's tough in hiring, when you're trying to run an ALS department and trying to supply medics on your engines to give, you know, to Hueytown, and there's just not medics out there to hire. So that's a problem for us.
You're pretty much going through what most of America is going through.
Yeah, we're having to hire them and train them,
which is difficult. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. It takes time and money.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. And sometimes you waste that money if they don't show up or can't do the job when it's all said and done.
Yeah, or they transfer and go to another department.
Yeah, which is unfortunately probably more money usually, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's what they're looking at.
Yeah. How about you?
Yeah, it's I think it's a national thing and nationally known that it's tough to retain police officers and to get people interested and excited about wanting to do the job. We're able, I think now a lot of departments as well as Hueytown are starting to try to get them young before they get too much into life. And actually I get them excited about wanting to do this, but there is a hiring shortage everywhere, and Hueytown is not exempt from that. You know, the problem is wanting to get people who want to do this job for the right reasons, actually want to serve people and protect people and actually know what those things mean, and how that builds into a great community. You don't want to just hire anybody, you know, because I'm sure if somebody said, hey, come work for us, you ain't got to do nothing, I mean, you probably have a line out the door. But, you know, you want to have people who have passion to do this, because, you know, and I know the fire department is the same way. This is a calling. This is something that that you have to be called to do, because otherwise you're out here flaunting this badge and with the power to take away somebody's life, or, you know, their freedom or anything like that. And you know, you don't want to put that power in the wrong hands, and you want to make sure that the people that do have it for the and have the intentions on doing what's best for not only the public, but that person in general. Because, you know, if somebody's in the back of my car, they're still in my care. So, you know, just getting people to have that mindset, it's difficult to have a bunch of people yet along a couple of people to do that. And, you know, resources, definitely a thing that drives people to go to different places. So money and things of that nature get people to go to certain agencies. And but I think Hueytown's done really well in getting a group of guys who and ladies who want to do this job and do our best to serve the citizens of Hueytown.
I don't think the majority of the public really understand what all our job entails.
Oh, they have no idea. Yeah.
I mean, in both of our careers and both of our jobs, you're with people, and sometimes, I mean, it's joked around a lot that, oh, the firemen come and everybody loves the firemen, but, you know, the policemen, they have it tough because they're under such a microscope.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You know, and people right now in our culture just don't have a lot of respect, you know, for that. And that's completely not how it should be, because we're when we show up, us and the police, the fire and the police, it's in that person's pretty much one of the worst moments of their life.
Yeah.
You know, and when you have a child who is a matter of life and death, and sometimes, you know, and these guys see it, we see it, you know, having to do CPR on a child, mm-hmm. having to do work a code on someone's husband when their wife's standing there watching and thinking and asking, is he going to be okay when you know he's not?
Yeah. Right.
And I mean, you have to tell her. Yeah. You know, we're both in those type of situations. I don't think people realize just the kind of things that we see and the things that we have to take home with us every day.
Because you don't always save the day.
No.
You know, I mean, in serious, it just doesn't always happen. Unfortunately, a part of life is that bad things happen to good people. And unfortunately, with both of your jobs, you're there when those bad things are happening. That's got to be tough.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you know, Nick's, you've been doing it for how long?
11 years.
You know, I mean, between the two, I mean, I'm going on 20. You know, between the two of us, we got 30 years of being in very tough situations and bad situations for people. And it's a good thing and it's a bad thing, especially when you're from the city you live in, because you sometimes run on people and you know them. Yeah. You know, so then, but it's good and bad because they feel comfort. Because they see somebody they know.
You're a friend. They see you as a friend.
Yeah, so, but at the same time, your heart goes out to them.
Yeah, because they're family. They've been around you so long. You know, I was going to ask this, Nick, because I'm glad you brought that up. I know a lot of policemen, and they're such good people. But in every profession, you're going to have people that are bad or people that don't care or people that abuse their power, right? Unfortunately, right now, over the past, let's just say, half decade, sometimes the only thing you see when it comes to police are those people, are those bad things, those moments. And it's so tough for y'all to keep trying to rebuild that trust with the community when they have such just a bad taste in their mouth.
Right. Well, that's also a part of the job. And it's what I like to call community policing. And, having that relationship with the citizens, that we police and that we see every day is the important part, because you see, the internet is a big thing now. You know, I'm sure about all of us sitting here, you know, when we were growing up and seeing the police and the firemen, there was no internet. You might see one big story on the news and you know, that's about it. But now everything's the informational age, and you know, everything you get at a click at a, you know, a click of a button, and you know, somebody who just so happened to have a bad experience with the police, you know, they just upload that onto the internet for everybody to watch, and then everybody gets a stigma when it comes to the police. So that's another thing that you have to battle as a police officer, and something that you have to take home with you. Because I mean, I'm sure Eddie knows, and you know, I've been had to endure, is that, you know, when you go home, when you get off, you don't get off.
Yeah.
Because if you're driving home, I'm sure if Eddie was driving home and he saw somebody laying on the side of the road unconscious, you know, he'd stop.
Yeah.
You know, just like
it's
you know,
the job.
Just like I mean, it's a job. You know, it's so you know. That being said, you know, there are bad apples within the police and even the fire community, and we can't we do our best to weed those people out, but there are bad apples in all professions.
Absolutely.
We just so happen to be very much televised, and that's another...
It's a very visible job.
Yeah, that's another thing that you know, I would say that you have to think about before becoming a police officer. And, you know, I tell people all the time, I say, you know, it's the only profession that you can go into, you know, go in that day and can come out and cannot come back, you know. You can get killed. You can do something, make a judgment call that in that moment seemed like the right judgment call. And, you know, in hindsight, it wouldn't be, and you end up in jail or, you know, it's just with that power comes responsibility in it. You know, we take that on and we want to do the best that we can. You know, what we need the public to know is that most of the time these guys in these situations are making the decisions that they make within a split second, a hair of a second. And it could be the difference between their life, the citizen's life, another citizen who's nearby's life. And most of the time we do the best we can to make those decisions. And just as well as the fire, you know, when they go out and, you know, try to revive your loved one and, you know, they can't, it's not their fault that they can't revive them. It's just, you know, a part of the job and a part of life. And, we go out here every day trying to do the best that we can because, you know, we love this city and we love the people, in it, and we want the best for them. So I feel like if you come with that mindset and try to clear your mind every day, you can get the best out of, each day. So yeah, I try to come at each day as a different day, you know?
Well said. So before we talk about the big event coming up, Eddie, people will be upset with me if I didn't ask this question. So your ninja career, real quick, what got you started in it? What made you decide to do it?
Well, I was actually at work.
Okay.
I was actually at work, okay. And, you know, and so I watched Ninja Warrior for years on, you know, when it was over in Japan. And, you know, of course, it's now in America, American Ninja Warrior, you know. And so my wife was watching. She called me and said, hey, are you watching this? And she's like, you ought to try out for it. And so I was like, you know what? I think I might. And so I sent a video. I tried out, sent a video in, and got a phone call. And that was back in 2015. I was on seasons 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. Took a 5-year break, and then they called me back for season 17, like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And then I realized how much older I'm getting.
A little more difficult now.
And, you know, you're up there running against these 15 and 16-year-old kids who've been doing it since they were 5 and 6. So it was fun. It's real fun. I'm not saying I'm done with it just yet.
Yeah.
Who knows? I might go back next year. We'll see.
You're a big dude. Most of those guys, like, that I watched it, are a little bit leaner. Was that an advantage for them or disadvantage for you?
Yes.
Because you're big, you're a fireman, so obviously a buff guy, big guy. They were a lot leaner. I would think that would be, you know, help them tremendously.
Yeah, it helps when you're lighter. Because when you're up hanging and throwing your body around and catching it, it's a lot easier when you're, you know, 140 pounds.
Yeah.
not 200.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, agility comes into play. And it's tougher when you do weigh more.
How do you think Nick would do as a policeman in the Ninja Warrior competition?
I don't know. Let's ask Nick.
I'm going to leave that most definitely up to your capable hands. I don't think I should be swinging this 230 pounds around anywhere.
But I was just going to say, a lot more difficult the bigger you get.
I don't even think I could do the little grippy things, you know. I'd fall right in the water, and then I can't swim. So,
you know what? That is a question on the application.
If you can swim?
Can you swim?
Wow. You know,
I mean, because you can't, you're just drowning in that. Well,
it's funny because my very first year, I met two guys from Alabama that competed, and one of them was a guy named JoJo.
And sounds like from Alabama.
And so the previous year, he had made it to Vegas, and he fell. And that water, I've been to Vegas, and I've fallen in that same water, and it's pretty deep. And you can't touch, obviously, immediately when you fall in. And he came up out of the water saying, "Hey, help, I can't swim."
Wow.
And so every application from then on asked, "Can you swim?"
Yeah.
Because of him.
I think that's a motivation to not fall in the water, right?
Yeah,
I would. Yeah, but so. Sometimes you just can't help it.
It's like I can't swim. I'm not gonna fall.
I mean, that's crazy. Well, that's awesome. Well, listen, let's real quick. Let's talk about this big event that is coming on. It's August 22nd, correct?
Yes.
Going to be at 7 p.m. Going to be at the high school stadium.
Yes.
Hughtown High School baseball field.
Hughtown High School baseball field. It's a softball game, correct?
It is
a softball game. Did either one of you play baseball in or have played softball since you got out of high school?
No.
No.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So, what position do you play?
Normally, left center, right center, and pitcher.
So, this is baseball or softball?
Oh, that's softball.
Okay, softball. Yeah. Okay.
Baseball, okay. I was more of a pitcher.
Okay.
Outfielder, but in softball, I've kind of the past couple of years, I've been pitching mostly.
Do you both consider yourself power hitters going into this mammoth matchup?
I mean, I think I can get a base hit off you. You're going to get a base hit out of me, buddy.
Can you leave the yard?
I can hit the ball okay.
Okay, okay. So there you go. We've heard it. He's calling a shot right there. That's what I heard, right? Did you hear that?
Yeah, I hear a home run for you. So, you know, guess if he doesn't get a home run, I think we should make him do something.
If you lay some money down, I will call my shot that night.
All right. Gavin's going to put $1.35 to see it happen. The man's made of money. He doesn't mind doing it. So where did the idea come from?
Well, I mean, honestly, we were at a job hiring event at the
Life Center?
Yeah, the New City Life Center. And it was, you know, we had our booths next to each other, and we had a bunch of people coming up to us and asking questions. And, you know, as I started, answering these questions with the chief of police, Yarbrough, and my sergeant, Sergeant Wilson, I started to think, you know, wouldn't it be just an awesome time to get the police and fire to do something fun together? I see a lot of in these bigger cities, they do these police and fire games and different things like that. And I just wanted to bring something like that to Hueytown because the biggest thing that I want and that I look for in a community and in a job force is camaraderie and, yeah, and a family. And I think that's one of the things that people do to build camaraderie and get a little bit of competition in there.
Competition's good.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. I agree. I think it's fun.
Great. It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I went to Chief Yarbrough, and I said, "Hey, how would you feel if we did like a police versus fire games?" And he said, "You know what? That'd be a great idea. But it has to be for charity." And I said, "I wouldn't have it any other way."
Yeah.
You know, and then the last thing he said was it could be anything but football. So guess if you're looking for us to play football one day, y'all going to have to send some emails to the chief.
Is it because of the danger of y'all hitting each other?
It's the injury aspect of it.
I would guarantee there'd be at least a dozen rolled ankles.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I could see that. You know, and you could always go flag. It's a much more gentler game, right?
No.
Flag sometimes can tend to be a little physical.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, yeah, I played some flag football.
No, but.
But I'm sure if there were going to be a football game played, I would about guarantee it's going to be flag.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think you're getting pads out there. Or maybe two-hand touch. I don't think you're getting the old high school pads.
I don't even think you should give those guys.
But I think softball is a
it's
real common.
Yeah, it's safe enough.
Softball, that kind of goes on everywhere. And when Nick mentioned it to me, I'm really glad that he pulled the trigger because I have been really wanting to do something like this for years. So, man, Nick, thanks for – really, you
it's
know,
a great
making,
idea.
You know, getting the start going, making it happen.
Yeah, I'd been hearing that people had been talking about it. You know, as I started talking to people about it and trying to get after the confirmation from Yarbrough that he would be okay with us doing it, and I started getting people's interest, and they, you know, they would tell me that, hey, you know, we thought about this a couple of years ago, just didn't happen. Well, you know, I'm the type of guy that if I have an idea, I want to make it happen. So, you know, I got with Stuart and Debbie with the chamber, and she has been absolutely amazing.
Once you wind Debbie up, it's over with.
She thought it was a great idea. I got to her at a car show, and I said, "Hey, look, I have this idea.
Oh, it's a great idea,
and I want to do this." And the mayor was standing over there, and he said, "That'd be a great idea." And it just it went rolling really fast, and we wanted to do a good charity, and there is no better charity than Ronald McDonald House, and we have a pre-established connection. Debbie does. I think she sat on the board there, so it was very easy to get them on board with raising money for them. We don't want to forget that it's for charity, but you know, if we beat the fire department in it,
that's a bonus.
That's just a bonus.
It's just a bonus. I can see that. You know, it's funny. I was at emceed City Fest and Red, White, and Boom combined this year, and Chief was cornering me. So he's like, you know, you really got to introduce. You really got to really when you introduce the policeman, you know, really give a lot of fire, passion, zeal. Oh, yeah. And then when you say something about the fireman, it's good. That's fireman.
You know, I'm sitting right here.
I'm saying that's what the chief said. I don't know. I mean, you know, he can arrest me. Y'all can really, y'all can't really physically do anything to me, really.
Now you understand my vote.
There you go. There you go.
Hey, but you know, if you start choking on something, I can't save you.
That's true.
Who you calling, Gavin? Right? Who you calling when you're yeah, you're choking or you're puking your guts up? You know, you have a car wreck.
Somebody needs to think about that, Gavin. I haven't picked, by the way. Maybe I'll save mine.
Hold on now, man. You know, we work a lot of car accidents, and we get there before y'all. And most of the time, they're saved before y'all get there.
Well, really, we only need y'all for traffic control. That's all we need.
That's true.
And by the way, Chief, if you are listening, I'm going to do the ride along. I've been promising for a while. He's been asking me. I'm going to do the ride along. It's going to happen one day. Hopefully, I get with you, Nick, when I do the ride along.
Well, no, you got to do it with him. That, you know, that would be great if you could get Chief back into a patrol uniform.
Okay,
and
if he'll do it, I'll do the ride along. There you go. I'm going to make it happen.
There you go. We need to make that happen. Definitely.
I will hang out with Chief on one night, riding in the car with him with his uniform on.
Definitely. I'm so happy with how this event has turned out and how everybody has come out to make this a big event, and combining it with another big event that you're going to talk about here in a little bit just makes it even more special. This hopefully is the first of many, the first annual softball, you know, charity softball game. So, you know, what I would want is for the dream is for everybody in Hueytown to come out and support and cheer on these hardworking firemen out here, and you know, just lend them a shoulder to cry on after the game when they lose.
So please come out, Hueytown, and you're saying basically be there for the firemen.
Just give them a little shoulder to cry on when they
I don't know if you noticed, Jamie, but I'm really not much of a trash talker.
No, you're just kind of like, it's almost like in wrestling, you would be the bad guy, the heel.
Right,
he's
okay.
The good guy, the face. He's just soaking it all in. He's ready for the big event. You just keep talking noise. You're building the fun.
Everybody loves the bad guy.
That's true. I'm a fan. But it's going to happen. We're looking at August 22nd, 7 p.m. But I want to say this, though. What's great about this event, it's a double event. We got some other things going on that night. First and foremost, at 5, from 5 until 6:30, we will have National Night Out. That is a chance for the police and the community partners to get together and just really give back to people coming out. We're going to have so many things going on. There will be police cars for you to look at, emergency vehicles. The Hueytown Fire and Rescue will be there. We've also got Touch a Truck from Publix Works. You can meet city officials, photos with the police and the firemen, probably not together because it's going to be before the game. They're going to have some, I don't want to get too started, the intensity. We got the crime scene unit going to be there. There's going to be food trucks, inflatables for the kids. It is going to be a fantastic evening. National Night Out followed by the main event, the Battle of the Badges. It is going to be a blast, guys. I'm so excited that you came up with the idea, and I think Hueytown's going to really love this event.
I really hope so. I really hope this is something that people want to bring their kids to. Please bring your kids out, by the way. And something that they can enjoy and feel good about being at and safe. And I mean, that's going to be a lot of. It's going to be a lot of emergency personnel just out there hanging out and being good. It's good to get in the community and just be able to talk to people and give back and show off some of the fancy little toys and trinkets that we got and show people how we use them and, you know, give away some prizes and stuff. So I think it's going to be a very, very good event. And if you miss it, you're probably going to be very disappointed.
All right, so before I let you go, with all guests, we have to play five questions. These questions have no meaning. I have no idea what I'm going to ask you until it just pops in my head. Sometimes they're good. Sometimes when Gavin does it, not so much. But we're going to work together to make sure that it ends really well. So my first question, if you could not be a policeman, if you could not be a fireman, what other career would you like to do?
Oh, a surgeon.
Okay. Is that because there's lots of money or you get to save people or both?
First, lots of money. and two, of course.
To save people. To make a difference. Yeah.
Yes.
I would be a famous country singer.
Okay. All right. I've heard you sing here a few times, which leads me to my next question. Your life depends on it. What song can you sing the best for both of you? Eddie, I'm guessing you can't sing anything, but you got to pick a song that you think you can pull off.
Oh, my goodness.
Man, there's so many songs.
He has so many songs. I have zero.
Now, there's got to be something you like, though, that you could sing.
You can do Happy Birthday. You've heard that one before.
Not to Gavin, though, because you picked against the fireman. You're not getting Happy Birthday from him.
I'm not singing you Happy Birthday, Gavin.
Birthday. All right, what song? Come on, give me something. One song.
Jamie, that's literally a question that I just can't answer because I don't know the name of any song or the lyrics. I can doody doody do along to any song. You know, but that's
what do you sing in the car when you're driving? What's your go-to car song you sing?
I don't listen to music in the car.
He listens to podcasts like Chamber Chat.
Yeah,
that's what I do, exactly.
So, Nick,
listen to storybooks.
We're not going to get anything from Eddie. What about you?
Man, you know, I think it would probably have to be, honestly, anything by Luke Combs. I really like him as an artist.
Okay.
He sounds very old school country with a new school twang. But my wife tells me that I sing this song. It's off of a movie. It's like Step Up or something like that. It's a Anthony Hamilton song. I forget the name of it, but like, yeah, she would love for me to sing that song every time we get in the car. So if I can remember the name of it, I'll tell you, but I can't. But I know it's an Anthony Hamilton song, an old R&B guy. So yeah, that's probably be it.
Wait, I got one.
Okay.
Karaoke.
Okay.
It's the only song I know and then sing to is Wonderwall. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. That's actually a fun song.
Just remember that.
Little Oasis going taking you back.
That's right.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to do something like Backstreet Boys or some boy band. So I'm surprised by that. But that's
are
good.
You serious?
I thought. I'm kidding. You see that look on his face?
He looks like a Backstreet Boy.
He does.
Man.
Like a buffer, big Backstreet Boy. Like he'd be like a really big, like a bouncer that's a Backstreet Boy.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay. Well, I can see all right.
That face was great. Favorite cartoon as a kid?
Oh, He-Man.
Have you seen the movie?
Yes.
What did you think?
I thought it was not bad.
I thought it was kind of geared toward kids.
It was.
Love it, but it was solid.
Wait, is it the live action?
It was a lot closer to the cartoon.
I want to see that.
Yeah, it's a lot closer to the cartoon than in the 80s, Dolph Lundgren's He-Man.
Oh, yeah, much,
Master
much
of the universe.
Yeah,
much way better. Closer to the cartoon.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it became a little more adult, but it was good.
Yeah.
I like it. It's a good answer. I would have felt that's my top five.
Man, I loved kids. You know what? Like, as a smaller child, I loved Dragon Tales.
Okay. All right.
I love that. I don't know if you know.
Another one,
if
you the know ducks. It. The yeah. Three ducks.
No.
Am I thinking of the same cartoon? Jamie, you remember that?
I do remember that. Yeah.
Which one was the three ducks that had their Uncle Scrooge who was rich?
No, that's
Oh,
DuckTales.
Wait, that's DuckTales.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Huey and Louie or whatever.
Yeah.
That was back in the 80s. I forgot. You were born in like the 2000s or something.
I was born in the 90s.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And it is a 90s cartoon.
I'm sorry.
It's not even, it came on with, Out of the Box and, what was that, Land Before Time? So,
Land Before
anything?
Time. I do remember that one.
You were born in the 70s. It's okay. You were
it's a good decade.
You're
it's a good decade.
83. 83.
I would have thought you would have went Smurfs or something. I would have thought you were a Smurf guy.
Smurfs.
I could see that.
I watched Smurfs a little bit, but it was more He-Man, Thundercats.
You can say you're Leon.
Thundercats. Yeah. I like that. Captain Planet, Tom and Jerry.
Oh, yeah. I can see that. Yeah. They never, Tom and Jerry never got along, and I always thought that was so sad. Kind of like Policeman and Fireman.
Yeah, I think it's Police and Fire relationship.
It is. Well, those were three really good questions. We'll now go to Gavin.
All right. My first question is going to be, what is your favorite pizza toppings?
Pepperoni.
Hawaiian.
Hawaii? Oh, that's
right. Oh, see, that's, gosh. Yeah. You know what?
That explains
so disappointed.
And bacon and pineapple.
So disappointed.
that explains
Fruit
everything.
Should not be on a pizza.
It should not.
Or a sandwich. It shouldn't. Pineapple by itself is great. I love pineapple.
Yeah, I love pineapple.
I put a pineapple on a protein shake, but not on a pizza. It's just so wrong.
It's not.
Well,
it's
that's
not
your
good.
Opinion, Jamie.
pepperoni, man. Pepperoni, I think, is the universal best.
That's the universal
pizza
kids pizza. Yes.
Yeah.
What about you? You look like a Canadian bacon guy, Gavin.
You look like a Canadian bacon guy.
That was my second favorite. Probably, I always go with three meat. Just
can't go wrong with that.
Yeah.
As long as you keep fruit.
I do like a good Supreme.
Oh, yeah. Supreme's good.
I do like a good Supreme.
Yeah, you get some veggies, it makes you feel like you are a little healthier.
Some mushrooms,
right?
Some onions.
Love a mushroom.
Yeah.
But you eat like my grandmother.
She must eat good.
Your final question.
All right, my final question is on topic. What is y'all's favorite sport?
Football. I guess I like watching football. I like playing football. I like wrestling.
Okay, I don't say when you say wrestling, are you talking about like WWE or like real wrestling?
No, real wrestling.
You like to talk? Will they actually wrestle?
Yeah.
See, if you can't hit somebody with a chair, there's no reason to watch it, right?
Exactly.
But it's your question.
I guess you could hit somebody with a chair.
You probably wouldn't last very long.
In this type of wrestling, you might get arrested for
that. No, I think football and basketball are my favorite sports. I coach my kids. Football team, youth football team, when he played, and then I coach his I currently coach his basketball team, and they do pretty well, and I really enjoy getting out there and playing with them and doing that. It's a great time. So yeah, football and basketball are my favorites.
Well, thank you so much, both of you, for joining us. Thank you for doing this, an event. I think the community is going to love it, and here's my prediction, ladies and gentlemen. Somebody will win this game. There you go.
Stay neutral.
Always the politician, my friend. Always a politician.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, we'll see you on the 22nd. Battle of the Badges, National Night Out. These two gentlemen will be there. I'll be there. I can't wait to get on the mic and really promote this event because I think it's going to be an awesome evening. The Go Home song, one of your favorites. We're going to go with Miley Cyrus, a cover of Jolene.
Huh?
Enjoy. And until we meet again, you've been listening to Chamber Chat.
Your skin is soft like summer rain, and I cannot compete with you, Jolene. reckoning.